This is episode 132 of Beyond the Bulletin, published on July 15th, 2022. Hello and welcome to episode 132 of Beyond the Bulletin. From the University of Waterloo, I'm Brandon Sweet, editor of the Daily Bulletin.
And from Media Relations, I'm Pamela Smythe.
On this podcast, we go beyond the pages and pixels of the Daily Bulletin to inform you about important news and views from our community.
In the interview, Mark Weber from the Conrad School of Entrepreneurship and Business tells us more about the new Entrepreneurship Fellowship for PhD students.
New episodes of the podcast come out every week, and you can find our archive of past shows and helpful links on the Daily Bulletin website. Please recommend us to your colleagues and connections at Waterloo. Thank you for joining us as we go beyond the bulletin.
Are these the dog days of summer?
I don't know if I'd call them the dog days of summer, but we're getting close. The dogs are barking.
My dogs are barking. What does that expression mean anyway?
They are the hot days of summer. The hottest days. I don't know if we're quite there yet. Although if you look at our lawns outside, we've got like August lawns in July.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Now here's what's been happening. The university has launched an institutional commercialization framework. As part of the province of Ontario's Intellectual Policy Action Plan, and they missed an opportunity there to call it IPAP, the government has introduced a series of commercialization mandate agreements which apply to all publicly assisted colleges and universities, including the University of Waterloo. So under this CMA framework, affected institutions are expected to establish practices that support the proactive management and commercialization of IP for the socioeconomic benefit of Ontario.
Hence our official commercialization framework, which sits in our Office of Research. The framework contains information about the management and protection of intellectual property, IP education and awareness, disclosure of IP, and commercialization advice. We'll put the link in our episode show notes.
While we're on the subject of launches, the website for the university's Sustainable IT Initiative is now live at uwaterloo.ca/sustainable-technology.
The site provides a guide to sustainable IT for the university, describing what sustainable IT looks like and providing important best practices that Waterloo can take, both as individuals and as a campus. We'll put a link to that in our episode show notes.
All right. So what is sustainable IT? Because, you know, on the face of it, you think about information technology not necessarily having an environmental impact. But of course, all of our devices consume energy, which comes from various sources, as we well know. And as well, our laptops and our phones and tablets have an environmental footprint basically based on their components, the rare earth materials, the rare earth metals that go into their manufacture and, you know, externalities around that. Mm. So this site run by IST provides a guide to sustainable IT for the university. And some of the articles include reducing energy consumption on peak energy days, the reintroduction of the Green IT Committee that helps to advance sustainable IT initiatives across campus, and how that connects to the university's sustainability office. So information like that will continue to be added to this sustainable IT resource. Now, here's what's coming up. Continuing on the subject of information technology, WStore has announced that it is now an authorized vendor for the Owl Labs series of virtual meeting peripherals, including Meeting Owl 3, which is a very cute device. I suggest you go take a look at the Daily Bulletin. There's a photo of the camera. It is a 360-degree camera, microphone, and speaker that creates an immersive setting for meetings with hybrid teams. The Meeting Owl 3's camera shows optimal room view and face-to-face views and auto-focuses on whoever is speaking, which is a pretty cool feature. And it has three built-in speakers for 360-degree coverage and clear in-room smart mics that equalize speaker volumes and amplify quiet voices. Really sounds like something that would have been very helpful, I don't know, about 2 years ago when everyone was offline. Although I think I can see definitely the use for it as we continue in a hybrid format in various places in the university.
Yeah, we didn't know we needed it. That's why it didn't exist. Letting these things take time.
I think basically it's the next phase of like teleconferencing, right? So instead of sitting around that starfish looking phone on the desk in our conference rooms, you have this owl looking device that actually records, you know, video and audio and sends it to other people who haven't been able to make it to the meeting or who are, you know, remotely communicating. We'll have to try it and check it out. And now the interview. A new entrepreneurship program at the university will help business-minded PhD students commercialize their research. Now in the pilot phase, the Entrepreneurship PhD Fellowship covers the tuition for PhD students' enrollment in the Conrad School of Entrepreneurship and Business's flagship program, the Master of Business Entrepreneurship and Technology, also called the MBET. Here to tell us more is Mark Weber, director of the Conrad School.
Thank you for joining me, Mark.
Hey, it's great to be here, Pamela, and thanks so much for inviting me to the show.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Conrad School? What is it?
The Conrad School is the academic engine of entrepreneurship education at the University of Waterloo. We're the academic unit that delivers courses and programs specifically to address the interests in entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial activity at UW. And we are located in the Faculty of Engineering, but the truth is that our mandate and our mission is to serve students in every faculty across the campus.
Thank you for that backgrounder. Now, we're here to talk about the new Entrepreneurial PhD Fellowship Program.
This is something that we are just so excited about. First of all, I should say the Entrepreneurial PhD Fellowship Program is a strategic initiative of the University of Waterloo in partnership with all of the faculties. And specifically, the fellowship involves a PhD student being able to do a Master's of Business Entrepreneurship and Technology part-time while they're pursuing their PhD. The University of Waterloo has an incredibly proud heritage of being the most market and industry relevant post-secondary institution in the country. We have got the most extraordinary entrepreneurship startup numbers of any institution in the country. Did you know that 18% of all university affiliated startups in the country come from the University of Waterloo?
I did not know that. One in five. Wow.
There is literally not a close second in the country for impact in this space. And we have particularly, I think largely because of the legacy of co-op, enjoyed lots of success with our undergraduate students starting ventures when they leave. And we certainly have lots of faculty who engage with the marketplace. And one of the things that we've observed is that we've got lots of doctoral students who are doing really interesting market-relevant work that don't necessarily have the supports to enable them to explore the commercialization of their research ideas.
Who is eligible for this program?
This program is open to doctoral students in any field of study, in any faculty at the University of Waterloo. In this pilot period, because we're doing a 3-year pilot program, in this coming year, there are 4 spots for doctoral students from engineering. There are 2 spots for doctoral students from science, and there is 1 spot for doctoral students from each of the other faculties.
And what would make a successful applicant, in your opinion?
A successful applicant is somebody who is starting to explore and interested in the possibility of turning their doctoral studies into a venture or a licensable technology, and basically trying to take their scholarship and take it out into the marketplace. But a typical doctoral student doesn't know necessarily what that potential is. And often they're just starting to explore and thinking about this as a possible future. And so what the program allows them to do is to continue to work on their research and their scholarship while they're also learning about entrepreneurship and testing their ideas and working with their ideas.
Now, I understand this is the first program of its kind in Canada. Look at us being innovative again.
To the best of my knowledge, it's the first of its kind, not only in this country, but actually globally. I know of no similar program.
Why is the University of Waterloo, and specifically the Conrad School, an ideal place for it?
Not only is Waterloo and the Conrad School the right place because we are such an entrepreneurial institution, but Conrad's MBET program is itself extremely unique. We were trailblazers when this program was established now almost 20 years ago, in pairing people working at the commercialization of technology, working at exploring new ventures while studying business simultaneously in an entrepreneurial way. So it's a unique program at a unique university, and hopefully with this fellowship, serving a group of brilliant students who have actually been in some ways underserved in terms of helping them explore this possible future.
Now, what does this program do for them that they wouldn't get, say, if they applied to Velocity or St. Paul's Greenhouse or went to the commercialization office, WATCO?
Yeah, you've just identified a lot of the fantastic pieces of the entrepreneurship ecosystem at University of Waterloo. And of course, the doctoral students who have that level of interest and they're mature enough in their thoughts about this process, they should explore all of those possible folks to talk to. But in fact, it is an ecosystem. And those different players are very good at the particular pieces that they do. So you have to be at a certain stage to be ready for a Velocity program. And further, and you know, we're a university, and so we actually believe that there are things that are worth knowing. There are frameworks for how to think clearly about business, how to think about going to market, how to engage with customers and clients. There's scholarly content, or rather there's research-driven content that is worth mastering that allows you to do those things better. And in fact, that's been our experience. So, for example, with Velocity, a small number of undergraduates will ultimately find their way through to the Velocity incubator without any content with the academic study of entrepreneurship. That does happen from time to time. And so, in fact, all of these different pieces of the ecosystem really connect in meaningful and powerful ways. And what we're really doing here is not trying to replace any other feature of the campus. We're actually trying to enable that connection between the doctoral student who has drilled deep into their area of research, where they think with incredible clarity about what it is that they're studying. We want them to think with comparable quality about the potential commercialization of those ideas. And what better opportunity than to explore that while you're doing the research, if you've got that entrepreneurial inclination. This isn't for everybody. Not every doctoral student has got this interest. Not every doctoral student has got this motivation. We like to say this is potentially a brilliant thing for the right doctoral students.
What stage of their doctoral program do they need to be in order to be successful?
Students are eligible to apply as long as they have completed at least 1 year of doctoral study by September of 2022. So in other words, this is not a program for people who are just entering into their doctoral studies. Those folks, they need to get their main area of research. They need to get that all underway and be making real progress there. And also with our doctoral programs, typically the first year is when they do the coursework or most of the coursework in their specific domain. This is something for students who are potentially in their second or their third year, perhaps, of doctoral study at Waterloo.
Can they apply later than the beginning of second year?
Yeah, absolutely. We will consider an application from any current doctoral student who has completed at least 1 year of study. The most intuitive way, because our part-time MBET program is a three-year program, and most PhDs are 4 years in length. So the most intuitive place to do that is the beginning of second year. But in fact, if we have a successful applicant, somebody who's got a great idea, who's clearly motivated to learn about entrepreneurship and want to do something in that space, we'll definitely consider somebody who's later in that stage of their program. And if, for example, they apply later in the program, and if they complete their PhD before the three-year MBET is done, they still get to complete the MBET. It's just that they have to do it after the completion of the PhD.
The fellowship is worth $35,000. What's involved?
So what the fellowship is the opportunity to complete a Master's of Business Entrepreneurship and Technology, which we call the MBET, at MBET part-time over a period of 3 years. But it's to complete that tuition-free. The tuition for a domestic MBET student ends up being about $35,000 over the course of a program. For an international student, it's actually almost twice that. But you can apply whether you're a domestic student or an international student, and the value of the fellowship is the tuition-free opportunity to complete your MBET. You have to be registered at the University of Waterloo. This is for University of Waterloo PhD students.
I don't have a PhD, but I understand. I've certainly talked to enough PhD students and PhD candidates. They have heavy workloads with research, teaching, marking, working on a thesis. How can they make this all work?
If you are motivated, if you really want to learn this stuff, if you really want to explore the domain of entrepreneurship around your research, it's possible. We design it that way, and here's how we do it. Courses are delivered Friday evenings and Saturdays, approximately every 3 weeks, approximately 10 months a year for 3 years. So it's not like you're in class every week. We concentrate the classes. There are gaps of time in between. And furthermore, it's not 12 months a year either. It's a lot of work. It's going to be demanding. But it could also be deeply enriching. And it could also, the study of the MBET could also shape how you actually pursue your doctoral study itself.
Oh, how?
Well, you might find yourself realizing that the questions that you started out with are not the best or most interesting questions to you. If in fact you're interested in pursuing the commercialization in a space where you've got expertise, what you might learn through your study of MBET is you might go out and discover some things about the marketplace where you realize, actually, I'm answering a really interesting question, but it's not the question that those people out in the marketplace are precisely going to want answered. And so you can start to tweak your questions. You can start to tweak the kind of data you collect. And if your interest is ultimately having an impact on industry, then engaging actively with industry or thinking about that marketability of your ideas, that can be really profound in shaping what you do.
And there are mentors.
Honestly, it's what Conrad and the University of Waterloo entrepreneurship ecosystem do best. So this is the other dimension of things. I mean, if you imagine somebody who pursues this opportunity versus somebody who's got those interests, do it just doing their PhD, in a lab, in their discipline, it's quite a different experience. So they'll come to Conrad, they'll have world-class marketing professors with expertise in data analytics who are asking them questions about how did they reach that conclusion? Ask themselves, better, more sophisticated questions. And in some ways, at the end of the day, Pamela, what is graduate education? What is a university except to ask more sophisticated, more interesting questions and to answer them with rigor? So this actually allows people to add that dimension to their doctoral program.
Your excitement is infectious. So the application deadline for the first cohort, the pilot, is fast approaching. What has response been like?
We have been really quite delighted because, as you might imagine, since no one's done this before, it's very hard to determine what demand might look like. We hosted a hybrid information session, and we crossed our fingers and thought, will we have 5 or 6 people show up? And it turned out we had 28 people show up from across campus, and that was based on a single announcement in the bulletin. And they came from, I think we had every faculty represented. We had about 20 or so doctoral students. We had some advisors. We also had faculty members who are a part of the grad studies system join. And I've had associate deans contact me because they have particular people or particular labs in mind. The deadline for applications for this first cohort is the 18th of July. Now, I will say, Pamela, you're running a great operation here with this show, and maybe people will hear about this and they'll think, oh my gosh, I don't think I can get an application together by the 18th. Listen, reach out to us by the 18th. If we know your application is coming a day or two late, I'm sure we'll be able to accommodate. The university senior leadership and the deans have committed to a 3-year pilot project. Programs succeed partly based on their reputation. And so with luck, we'll get some great people who apply and we let into the program this year, and they'll go out and they'll tell 2 friends and they'll tell 2 friends and so on and so on.
What role do the PhD supervisors and advisors play?
You cannot apply for this fellowship without the explicit support of your advisor. They can identify the students in their labs or the students that they supervise who have these kinds of interests. And in fact, often those interests align with advisors' interests. They themselves are interested in thinking about commercialization. And so there may be a partnership that's possible there. And the other piece that's really important is at University of Waterloo, intellectual property is owned by the inventor, which of course can mean a student. And so one of the things that we need to have clear coming in is that if there are any questions about who owns IP around an idea that you're seeking to commercialize, we need to know that the advisor and the student have talked about that before they end up in our program.
What do you think or hope the impact of this fellowship will be?
We hope the impact of the fellowship is the enablement and the empowerment of a whole bunch of brilliant University of Waterloo doctoral students to have a really positive impact on the world through applying their research through commercialization, through ventures. You know, one of the things that I always find inspiring about the University of Waterloo story is that this was an institution that was founded on innovative programmatic principles to have an impact in the marketplace. University of Waterloo exists because we wanted to train people more effectively to have a positive impact on industry. So the University of Waterloo's big impact on the world is new ideas through scholarship, but the application of those ideas in ways that improve the lives of people in our communities, in ways that create wealth and opportunity for citizens in this country. And so what do I hope for through all of this is that the right doctoral students will have an even bigger impact, and they'll be able to look back and say, I succeeded because of the support that I got from the University of Waterloo.
What else would you like to say about this exciting initiative before we say goodbye, Mark?
If you are a PhD student at the University of Waterloo and you have always wondered whether or not your doctoral research had possible commercial applications or ways to turn it into a venture beyond your work at UW, if you've had those kinds of questions, and if you think that you're somebody who would like to understand more about how the marketplace works, to think more clearly about groups and teams and leadership and innovation and marketing and the launching of products, then you should absolutely reach out to us and talk to us about whether or not this opportunity would be a good one for you. And for that matter, if you're a doctoral supervisor and you're looking at one of your students and you're thinking, you know, this person is going to follow potentially a non-traditional path, I see this person making a splash with their ideas in the marketplace, then you should reach out to us too. You mentioned that you're not a PhD student, but I will just sort of say as a bit of a sidebar that in fact, that doesn't mean you can't apply for our part-time MBET program. In fact, Pamela, what you might not realize is that every year we have a handful of University of Waterloo employees who begin and start to pursue their part-time MBET at UW. In fact, we've even had faculty members, one pre-tenure faculty member who is now tenured and one tenured faculty member who is now a full professor, who actually pursued their part-time MBET alongside their work. So there are lots of ways to participate in this program, and the PhD Entrepreneurship Fellowship is just one of them.
It sounds so exciting, and I'm sure great things are going to come of it. So good luck to you, Mark. Good luck to everybody who's applying and who gets into the program. Thank you again so much for being here.
Thanks so much.
Well, that about wraps it up for us this week. To ensure you don't miss an episode, please subscribe to the Beyond the Bulletin podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And please recommend us to your colleagues and Waterloo alumni.
You can find us on Twitter at UW Daily Bulletin. Select interviews are also on the university's YouTube channel. Just look for the Beyond the Bulletin playlist there. You can reach us by email at bulletin@uwaterloo.ca.
As always, thanks for listening as we went Beyond the Bulletin.
I was worried today because I think it was supposed to thunderstorm, and I was worried. I thought, oh my God, what are we going to do if we have to record this with a thunderstorm? We've never had to delay for rain before.
A rain delay in the Beyond the Bulletin podcast. That's amazing. Well, first time for everything, I guess. We'll see.